First Thessalonians chapter 4. And normally when we think of this chapter, at least when I hear this chapter, I immediately think of the rapture. Because chapter 4, verses 13 to 18 is the greatest passage on the rapture in the scriptures. But today we're going to look at the first part of the chapter, which talks about the need for us to be sanctified and to have a vessel unto honor as we wait for the rapture. And this is the practical side, is God wants us to live for Him. And in this passage, it's a very long list of very practical things and practical ways that we can serve God in sanctification and honor. So notice chapter 4, beginning in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lusts of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. We beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. So sanctification and honor, that's our title. Dear Lord, I ask now that the word would speak to us personally and powerfully, Lord, and that we would be willing to acknowledge the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. Lord, all of us are weak. All of us make mistakes. And we all want to serve you and be faithful to you and please you with our lives. So I pray you'd help us now. And I pray the word of God would go forth with power and we would be changed by it. We lift up Jesus, our wonderful Savior, and pray in his name. Amen. This is the will of God. We don't see that statement a lot in the scriptures, but I'd say that's a very important statement, wouldn't you? This is the will of God. He says that in other places, Ephesians chapter 5. He says we're to understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then he tells us some of the ways to fulfill God's word. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, that we're to be thankful. Romans 12, most of us know that. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. But he's saying, you Thessalonians, you Christians, us, this is the will of God. God wants us all, notice at the end of verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That is the will of God. That word sanctification means to be set apart, to be set apart for God's service. Sanctification and honor. We are here to honor the Lord with our lives, with our words, with everything about us. We are here to bring him honor. Our vessel should be doing this. And then he proceeds to give us some very practical ways that this can be true in our lives. And it's interesting to me that the first two things he mentions are the things that the devil's really been using the past couple of decades to destroy society, which is fornication and lust. It's amazing, isn't it? 2,000 years later, how fitting the Word of God is to today. And so let's walk through these and understand that this is the will of God, that our vessel be possessed with sanctification and honor. How can we do this? Number one, verse 3, abstain from fornication. We don't hear much about this like we used to in the old days because it's so commonplace. How often do people get married pure anymore? It just isn't happening like it used to because it's become the norm, has it not? That people have relations before marriage. So go to 1 Corinthians 6:18. Of all the sins in the Bible, you know, I've said this many times, God does not rate sin and he does not. But there is one sin in the Bible that he says is unique, and that is the sin of fornication. Let's see how it is unique. Notice chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. This is the only sin where God says this. Isn't that something? And even in Acts chapter 15, when the disciples got together to consider the question of whether or not the Jews were to keep the Old Testament commandment, whether or not the Jews were to be circumcised. And when they were finished with the conference, they said, no, the Gentiles do not have to follow all of these Jewish things. The first thing they said to the Gentiles was, stay away from fornication. And yet it's so commonplace now, isn't it? If you watch anything on television, it's all about everybody sleeping around. But it's still a sin. And God still hates it. And he says here in 1 Corinthians 6 to flee it. He says here in 1 Thessalonians 4 to abstain from it. To keep ourselves, what? Sanctified and honorable for the Lord. So a very practical way to keep our vessel in sanctification and honor is to abstain from fornication. The second one, verse 5, not in the lust, 1 Thessalonians 4:5, of concupiscence. Big fancy word we don't use much anymore. It basically means the forbidden. The lust of the forbidden. Anybody ever heard it called the forbidden fruit there in the garden? Well, the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. He says, yeah, that's how they act because they don't know God. So they act like the devil, but the devil's their father. We shouldn't be surprised. But he's saying Christians shouldn't act this way. Christians shouldn't allow lust to control their lives. And we know what the devil's done. He's brought in pornography on the internet, and it's literally destroying families all around the world. Lust is dangerous. Go to Romans 13, verse 14. And we are warned about this sin all throughout the scriptures. David, a good object lesson of what can happen when we lust and then move forward with what the results are. He lusted after a woman and ended up committing not only adultery but murder. Because of his lust. But notice Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. If our vessel is going to be one of sanctification and honor, we must abstain from fornication. And we must avoid lust in all of its forms. Verse 6 of our passage, number 3. That no man should go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also have forewarned you and testified. Defraud means to cheat. And he's saying that as Christians, we never have an excuse to not always be 100% above board and honest in all of our business dealings. Especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we must never lie to them and we must never defraud them. That's part of loving them. And God warns us all through the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 6, that ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. It is wrong to defraud our brother in any matter. Number four, God hath not called us unto uncleanness. There are other aspects of uncleanness other than lust. And the devil, of course, is the god of this world and the prince of the power of the air. And he uses uncleanness against Christians all the time. Go to Ephesians 4:19, if you would. The Bible says that we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We're to be holy. We're to be separate from sin. Notice Ephesians 4:19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. We must avoid all uncleanness. Can we do this? Of course. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Did you notice he said that in verse 8? Who hath also given us the Holy Spirit. He says, can you possess your vessel in sanctification and honor? Yes, God has given of you his Holy Spirit. Holy being the key word there. And he indwells each one of us. We are his temple. So yes, we have the capacity, through his help of course, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. So number one, abstain from fornication. Number two, abstain from lust. Number three, no defrauding of your brother. Number four, no uncleanness. And then in verse 8, number 5. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. We're told there in verse 9 that we are to love one another. The devil tempts Christians all the time to despise one another, to be angry with one another, to not forgive one another, to have bitterness in their hearts toward Christians. Honestly, it's one of the most dangerous things in the church, is this unforgiveness and bitterness that takes place all the time. Jesus said, by this, John 13:35, by this one thing shall men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And we all know, we've heard it enough times, love is what we do. Love is not what we feel. And so go to 1 John 4:20, where God makes it very clear that if we have any anger or hatred toward our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it is a sin, and our love for the Lord is not what it should be. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? If we're going to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor, there can be no despising or hatred for any brother or sister in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what they've done. God says we have to forgive and we have to remove all bitterness with his help. There's no exceptions. Because the alternative is bitterness, which eats away at the soul and affects others and hinders your Christian walk. So if we're going to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor, abstain from fornication, abstain from lust, no defrauding of our brother, no uncleanness, and no hatred toward our brothers and sisters in quiet. Then in verse 11, he gives us three things. He talked about practical, down-to-earth stuff. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that's about as practical and down-to-earth as you can get. Study to be quiet. Got to love that one. Study to be quiet. Go to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. God wants us to live a quiet life. Some Christians need to learn to just be quiet. Notice 2 Thessalonians 3:12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Quietness. Now, does that mean we shouldn't speak? No. I don't think it's just talking about how we speak. that we shouldn't be loud, and of course we shouldn't. The Bible warns us about that in Proverbs especially. It's talking about how we live our lives. We're to live them quietly. We're not to be out there living loudly in the face of others. Study to be quiet. In other words, study the Word. Lord, how can I live a quiet life? Well, study God's Word and He'll show you. Study to be quiet. But then he goes on to say in verse 11, and do your own business. You got to love that one. Do your own business. Did you know God even says something about busybodies? Go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and I'll show you. Is being a busybody a sin? Yes, it is. It is a sin to be a busybody. We're here to do our own business. We're here to be focused on our own heart and our own life, not to be focusing on the sins and problems of others. Notice 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Wow, that's pretty big. Or as a thief. So I like how Paul starts off with murder and stealing. Or as an evildoer. Or as a busybody. Now the word busybody here is in the same verse with murder and being a thief. And yet in our own minds, we tend to put those in different categories, don't we? Murder and stealing are up here and being a busybody is kind of down here. Not in God's program. Do your own business, he says. Keep your nose out of other people's business. And verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 4, work with your own hands as we commanded you. God designed us to be busy. He designed us to be busy working, not busy in other people's stuff. So we're not to be busy bodies in other people's matters, but we are to be busy. We are to be working. We are to be serving. And we are to be working with our own hands. I'm sorry, socialism isn't in the scriptures. But God tells us over and over again, this is what he wants. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, we're told. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 28. Most of us know verse 29, which tells us to not let any corrupt communication come out of our mouth. But what about verse 28? It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Working with his hands. God built us this way. And this, we're not going to have a vessel of sanctification and honor if we're lazy. And we know what the proverb says about laziness and slothfulness. And then he finishes 1 Thessalonians 4:12, that you may walk honestly. But notice it says, toward them that are without. So he's already warned us about defrauding our brother, our sister in Christ, that's our fellow Christians. But now he says, and I also want you to walk honestly toward the world, toward them that are without. Without the church, in other words, without the body of Christ. I want you to walk honestly toward them as well. I want you to live a life of honesty in all matters. And we know that Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. God hates lying. We're told in Proverbs chapter 6. We're told in Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That all of our dealings with Christians and non-Christians alike, 100% honesty. You see what I mean? This is practical stuff. This is down-to-earth, real stuff. How do we possess our vessel in sanctification and honor? It isn't this high-flighty stuff. This is real. Abstain from fornication. Abstain from lust. Don't defraud your brother. Stay away from all uncleanness. Don't despise or hate your brother. And study to be quiet. Do your own business. Work with your own hands and walk honestly toward the world. Fascinating. This is what God wants from all of us, is that our vessel, if you would look at 2 Timothy 2 quickly and verse 20. All of us are God's vessel. We're told in 2 Corinthians 4:7, you have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's us. We're just made out of dirt. Dirt that's been saved. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to dishonor. And we all know this to be true. You've got vessels that are very precious, very important, and then you've got other vessels that are just a bucket for the pig slop. They're vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Look at verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and he's talking about the sins he lists in other parts of the book, especially verse 22, flee youthful lusts, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. That word meet means acceptable. So God wants every one of us to be that vessel unto honor, not the vessel unto dishonor. But the only way we're going to be that vessel that's possessed in sanctification and honor is if we live the life God wants us to live. A life of holiness. A life of pleasing God and putting Him first. A life of loving others and avoiding these pitfalls that the devil keeps putting in our way. God wants us to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. So let's be honest with the Holy Spirit today. I'm going to sing a song in a few moments. Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicted you in one or more of these areas. What do you need to do about it? You need to go to God and be honest and say, Lord, I need your help. I'm failing you. My vessel is not a vessel of gold or silver right now. It's a vessel of clay or wood. And I need to change some things, and I need your help to do it. But to walk away and ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's not God's will. This is the will of God, as we saw there in verse 3. This is the will of God, that you possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. Let's pray. Dear